Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's lesson from John is full of all sorts of memorable quotes. And perhaps you recognized this observation from Jesus that no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That would be a great quote to preach on Memorial Day. And I could give thanks to all of our veterans and those who've served in the armed forces. But I could also thank those who have served as firefighters and police officers, and frankly, those who work in healthcare, anybody who has ever extended themselves for other people. But that is not what I'm going to preach on today. Instead, I'm going to preach on this. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is speaking as God. And what kind of deity gives us commandments to not worship the God, but to command to love each other? Jesus is calling us to love one another, not love God. Think about that. Now, this is not going to be a repeat of last week's sermon, although I stand by what I said last week. But, if we want to worship God, we need to love one another. Now, you may be saying, what does it mean to love one another? I don't have the magic answer for you. But I will tell you this. Loving one another, loving our neighbor, loving the stranger is not easy. It is not simply a matter of paying the toll for the car behind you on the highway and then driving recklessly as you go forward. It's not simply putting $5 in the hat of the homeless person on the street and then going into your office and then, pardon my language, screwing over your colleague. Loving your neighbor is much deeper than that. It's not simply an act that looks good, that makes you feel better, and that gives you a free pass so you can then be a jerk going forward. That should be easy, right? So who here has never done anything bad? I'm glad to see a fairly high level of self-awareness. And you notice, I did not raise my hand. I have not loved my neighbor all the time. I have not done well all the time. And frankly, as we drove to church this morning, Rachel asked me, who is my best friend forever? And I paused. And I didn't answer the question. And I thought for a moment, I should say Jesus. But I think she was looking for me to talk about my own life. And as I thought about that, after she left me off, I thought my BFF would be Stan, who died a few years ago. And Stan was a friend I made in college. He was a couple of decades older than I am. And he was a great friend. And I miss Stan. I miss going out to breakfast with Stan on Saturday mornings. I miss talking about books with Stan. And I miss arguing about politics with him. Now, Stan and I occupied very different places on the political spectrum. But we never lost sight of the fact that we thought each person was a good person. We never called each other words I'm not going to use in church. But we disagreed, sometimes vehemently, and sometimes out of a lack of understanding. Have you ever argued with someone and wondered just what on earth they're thinking? How can they think that? I cannot answer why other people think differently than I do. Oh, I can try to, but sometimes I will come up short. But God is calling on us to love one another. So you may not all agree on everything. And I am sure that there are issues on which there is disagreement. But for some reason, which I hope is rooted in a love of God, you all come to church on Sunday morning. That is the thing that matters most. Not who you vote for, not which causes you support, who you might march for, who you're giving money to, but who you worship. So I've asked this question before. Who do you worship? Really? You might all say, I worship God. That's great. But is this a God who made himself known to us in Jesus? Is this a God who speaks to us through Scripture? Or is this the God that we think is speaking through a political figure? Or is this a God who is supposedly a great sports figure or a celebrity? Or the latest influencer online? So we're more or less of a generation that doesn't live online. And we have just a couple of people in the sanctuary today who I suspect are heavy users of texts. And I could have called today's sermon BFFs. And that would have made sense to them. And then I could talk to you about TMI. And then LOL. And the interesting thing about LOL is that people have assumed that they know what it means. And David Cameron, the former Prime Minister of Britain, once thought that LOL meant lots of love. And people thought, ha ha ha, we'll make fun of Cameron. But this guy somehow managed to become Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He couldn't have been a complete idiot. Now, there were people who did not agree with Cameron. But I am not going to speak to you in text speak. I'm not going to send out my sermon to you in text. I like to use full words. I think spelling them out makes sense. And frankly, Jesus often seems to be talking to us in text speak. Now, yeah, we'll say, oh, I can read the Bible. It all makes sense to me. If that is true, why am I here? I am not going to be performing any kind of special secret rituals. When we come to the communion table in a few minutes, I am not charged by the Lord Almighty to do something special to make the elements different. We will still be eating bread and juice. I do not subscribe to the doctrine of transubstantiation. The bread will not become the body of Christ. The juice will not become the blood of Christ. But they represent Jesus. When you come to the table, and I hope everyone will feel welcome to come to the table, whether or not they choose to consume the elements, you will be signifying your membership in the body of Christ. That is your opportunity to sign your membership card. That is the moment to say, you are willing to love one another. Now, some of you may have a very easy time loving one another. And I can think of some people in the sanctuary who have done a great job of that. And some of you, maybe not so much. And I really am not going to identify anybody here. But I think everybody here has been well behaved towards one another and has loved one another. And at times when one would have liked to show someone else the backside of their hand, has refrained and instead been polite and kind. That's part of what loving one another is all about. I am not going to tell you that Jesus tells you to vote a certain way. Followers of Jesus can vote for any political party. But If we view our actions in a voting booth as being divinely ordered or ordained, that is not what God is doing. God has entrusted those responsibilities to us. And just as God has entrusted the ordering of our world to human beings, He has entrusted our care for the kingdom of God to us. So every person here is a representative of God. We are all made in God's image, each and every one of us, male and female. And I'm not going to encourage you to spend a lot of time thinking about what that might mean. I'm pretty sure that God would be more ripped around the middle than I am. But if we are made in God's image, what are we called to do with one another? Doesn't it make sense that God would want us to love one another? Because we are God's creatures. Not just some of us, not just those who sit on this side of the sanctuary or that side of the sanctuary, but all of us. And I'm not going to tell us all to just get along with one another. Loving one another is more than following words that were supposedly ascribed to Rodney King. Loving one another is a deeper, more sacred calling. So yeah, we can take better care of one another. We don't need to be bombing one another. We don't need to be lashing out at one another. We don't need to be hating one another. We don't need to be chanting at one another. None of that is making for a better world. No. Now, you can disagree with me. I'll be happy to talk with you after service about it. But I honestly think that we are called to work with one another, to love one another, to help our neighbors. And if you disagree with me on that, I'd like to hear from you. And we'll talk. We're not going to argue. We're not going to fight. And I'm not going to read you out of this congregation because you disagree with me on a point. But we need to talk with one another. We need to listen to one another. We need to recognize that sometimes in our righteousness, we are really not righteous. Now, I know how good it can feel to indulge a righteous anger. Who here doesn't like getting all head up about something important to them? And then thinking, those people are so evil, and they're so stupid. And wouldn't it be better if they just went away? What kind of world do we get if we follow through on those impulses? Ultimately, we would have a world in which we are all alone. We can find ways to weed people out of the group so easily. But we are not called to do that. We are called to join together. And remember, Jesus says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, we don't know if Jesus is referring to the upcoming crucifixion. Jesus had already laid down his life for his friends. Jesus had given up everything to teach and to preach and to heal and to travel around the countryside proclaiming the word of the Lord. That's laying down one's life. Being a nurse, working crazy hours, welcoming those who are ill, who are worried about their health, that is laying down one's life. Being a school teacher, good God, that's so complicated now. This is one of those back in the day kind of things. When I was a kid, our school teachers did not have to worry about the kind of obloquy and hate that they encounter. And some of it, I can understand. But sending death threats? Really? Why should a teacher have to encounter that? So thank you, teachers. And I can go down the list of occupations and callings where people are giving so much to themselves for others, where people have essentially laid down their life for their brothers and sisters. Jesus wasn't here to proclaim some kind of 1960s hippie gospel to us. But Jesus was about service. Jesus was about a world in which God would be welcome. If you believe that God is returning, would you want to welcome God back to the world as it is? Think about that. Now, I will say this. We living here in 21st century America have it better than any other humans have had it in history, anywhere. But that does not mean that we are somehow chosen. That means instead we've won the lottery of life. And what do we do with our winnings? Are we going to love one another? We're not bombing each other. We don't have violence in the streets. We've got it pretty good. And that is a gift from God, one that is unwarranted. Yes, we have worked hard to build our society, and yes, it can be better. But if we can't make what we've got go a long way to benefit all of us, we're done. I am not going to pin my hopes of the future on North Korea. I'm not going to pin my hopes of the future on Russia. I'm not going to look to South America. We are the solution to our problems if we follow the words of Jesus. Now, this is not a call for us to go evangelize and to convert all of the so-called heathens to the Christian way. Instead, we need to love one another. And sure, it would be great if everyone came to church on Sunday morning. Personally, I would love to see these pews full. But I am not going to look a gift horse in the mouth, and I'm grateful that you are all here. And frankly, we Christians have not done a very good job of convincing others to come to church. If we go around telling people that they are messing up, that they have sinned, that they are somehow cast off into the outer rims of darkness, where there will be gnashing of teeth until the end of time, do you really think they're going to respond to the invitation to come to Jesus? Does anyone come to this church because they are worried about burning in hell? Remember, Jesus also told us that you did not choose me, but I chose you. God chose us. All of us. God is not looking for us to wag the finger, to tell other people that they're going to hell. Because frankly, we may have booked express passage there ourselves. Now, I'm not going to give you a fire and brimstone message now. But I think it's important for us to look in our own hearts and to ask whether we are following the words of Jesus, which were shared with all people, all of us. And all will be welcome at this table in just a few minutes, regardless of what church tradition you may be part of or not part of. You are welcome at this table. God loves you. God loves me. Go figure. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the gospel. We thank you for all of the ministry Jesus performed and for the way he held your people in his care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.